I get a call from my agent, say, Francesca Zambello wants you to do something. And I had said no to Francesca before. So it's like, okay, I don't care what it is. I'm not going to say no to Francesca again. So they told me that, you know, the composer wanted to talk to me about the piece. And it's like, okay, and I'll talk to the composer. I mean, I've done it before, no big deal. So I had this hour-long conversation with the composer. I had no idea who Janine Tesori was. And we had a really great conversation. Like, had I known who Janine Tesori was, I probably would have been a little more nervous. But after the conversation, I felt so excited about the piece and what we talked about. And then I Googled Janine Tesori. And I kind of just sat back in my chair like, oh, I can't really say the words, like, oh shit, that's Janine Tesori. So, and I knew Taz Wells' work from working with him previously. Once I found out the content, what Blue was about, it almost perfectly mirrored what was happening in my life, because I just had my son. And some of the conversations that were in the libretto, between the expressing the fears about having a black boy in America, my wife and I also had, and it just, you know, outside of Blue, not knowing the context of Blue, those things were happening in my life at that moment. So it felt like the perfect piece to finally be able to express something that doesn't really get expressed in the black community that often.
I wondered about that, especially in the opening scene with the friends learning that she's pregnant with a boy and basically saying, don't do it. I wonder, is that an exaggeration?
I mean, opera is a heightened, you know, it's a heightened state of emotions, but those conversations really happen. I had, you know, my wife, she expressed a lot of fear. And myself, being a black man in America, I had a certain level of confidence that I can do this as a dad. You know, I can do this as a black dad in America. Not without challenges, but I could handle it. We can do it. Outside of the obvious, you know, the police killings being one, you know, black boys being, you know, seen as threats in America. You know, walking down the street and having someone cross the street simply because of your existence. And having to instill that into a kid is, that's a daunting task. And it's a task that you hope you don't have to teach, you don't have to take on. But it's a reality that, you know, black people and black men specifically face in the country. I mean, you know, from systematic racism to, you know, just unknown prejudice, it's a wide net of issues that you have to instill and teach and navigate as a parent and as a black person in America. The fact that, you know, this story is so fresh and so new, I mean, it's exciting, but it's also sad. In fact, this shouldn't be a new thing. It shouldn't be something that's revolutionary in opera. I mean, it's a human experience, an everyday experience, and I mean, I'm glad to see the day come, but it shouldn't be special.
Yeah, well, it's so universal too. You know, the mother, the father, the baby, that you have generic names. I mean, that's why I was a blubbering mass last night, because, you know, as a parent, you can't help but just,
That's by design too. Tazwell, I mean, is very specific about that, and it came up in a lot of the Q&As after the show. You know, why don't the characters have names? And the moment you attach a name to a character, you also can detach yourself. But it's harder to detach yourself from a role that you play. You know, a father, a son, or mother, or a reverend. I mean, if you are those things in life and you see them on stage, it's easily, you can easily grab on to it and see yourself in those characters, black or white.
What are the challenges of singing the role?
So the challenges of singing the role, they're purely emotional. I found that I would get so emotional that I couldn't sing sometimes. So gauging how far you can go before, you know, getting to that line of just being inconsolable. And there were a few rehearsals, and I think that was a important part of the rehearsal process, where we couldn't go on. Like, there were some rehearsals I literally just broke down to my knees, crying, sobbing. I mean, also my son is in the show, so I'm having to sing these things in front of my son and face my worst fear in rehearsals and on stage with my son present. I mean, having to face my worst fears. So I think that was one of the biggest challenges in singing the score. I mean, Janine did a great job in writing the part specifically for me. So vocally, it's not. I'm going to say it's not that demanding. I mean, she stretches from the top to the bottom of my range, but she writes in such a way that it fits my voice perfectly. So I would say the biggest challenge of it is just the emotional element of it. I mean, there are obvious scenes that just, you know, pull at the heartstrings. And that's when I was rehearsing by myself, you know, that funeral scene, or the scene with the Reverend and the father, where he's like, I'm done. And he sings this beautiful medley, like, over and over, like, I lay my burden down, I lay my, oh. Like, when I was rehearsing that, like, I nearly broke down every time when I was by myself. So that still gets me, you know, with the orchestra and Gordon, you know, the Reverend standing there. But surprisingly, one of the things that I didn't anticipate was the opening scene, you know, seeing my wife for the first time in the hospital bed after just having given birth, and seeing my son, who's actually a doll in the show, seeing him for the first time, that got to me, surprisingly, because I didn't think that would be a moment that made me cry. But in rehearsals, I literally saw my wife's face in Brianna. I saw my son's face in the daughter. So my son is only 4, so I could easily recall those emotions. And there were tears of joy and tears of a newness of life that, you know, I just had recently embraced. So that scene actually got to me as well. And the funeral scene, I mean, just probably one of the most beautiful scenes in the show. And I'm not even singing. I mean, I'm sitting on the pew. Like, my work is over. Like, I've done all the big scenes. But there is a call for somebody, like, somebody, like that line. Oh, it gets me every time. And it's repeated by different characters in the chorus. And by the second time it comes around, like, I am a ball of tears on stage. You know, I know it. There's not a lot of acting happening up there. I think a lot of it is very, very instinctual, and it's such a visceral piece, and it's so, I don't know, it's just so readily available. You don't have to imagine too much. I mean, Tazwell, in rehearsals, in those first couple days, he was like, just go, and then just do what you would normally do. And a lot of what you see is a result of, you know, that freedom he gave us. And there's not a lot of, and he changed some things based on, you know, sight lines and, you know, just spatial relationships. But a lot of the intention was there from day one. And doing a piece like this, I mean, there hasn't been a formal sit-down conversation about it.
Really?
And we've had side conversations about scenes that get us most, or, you know, what do we want in this scene? What do we want the audience to get in this scene? But as far as personal emotions, I mean, I think we all just get it. Like, we all know, we all came to the table knowing what we were doing, knowing what the piece meant. So there wasn't a need for a lot of conversation. It was just, we all know these things, we all have these feelings, and we're finally given a space to express them in this piece. And, you know, walking around town after the show, I walk every day with my son down to the lake, and there have been people, you know, white people, who have come up to me and literally stopped me in the middle of the street and have said thank you, like, almost on the verge of tears, like, holding my hand, looking at my son, saying thank you for the performance and, you know, your performance and what it means. And to hear that people are going home and questioning and crying and not being able to talk is beautiful to me, especially leaving the opera. I mean, I always say I want to go to the theater, and I either want to leave, like extremely happy or extremely depressed. Like, I don't want to go to the theater and not feel anything. And if you leave the theater not feeling anything, then something's wrong, because I think that's the purpose of theater. And a lot of people have left feeling something that they've never felt before. So it's, I mean, you know, black, white, I don't think the audience matters. I mean, what they walk away with will be very different, but it touches something somewhere in each person.
I kept thinking, what can I do? What can we do? What can we do? What can I do?
Of course. It was interesting. There were, during one of the Q&As, there's a school that came, and a lot of the students were minorities and, you know, black, Latino. And you had the juxtaposition of this affluent white audience there for the Q&A. And there was one of the black teachers, she was very emotional, and she was asking, I guess the way they were talking about the piece was, you know, her question was, why is it a burden for white people to feel our pain? And she didn't quite say it that way, because I think she was a bit afraid to, you know, put it that bluntly. But I answered the question, and I told her, it's only a burden in that they don't know. A lot of them don't have to deal with our pain. They can't feel our pain. It's hard for them to empathize because they don't see themselves in the black lives that are lost. So the power of blue and why we are doing blue is exactly to address that. I mean, opera for me is one of the greatest vehicles of art to express a human emotion that doesn't get expressed on a daily basis or can't be expressed simply with words. And the combination of music, art, dance, acting, it all encompasses every emotion an artist tries to convey. A visual artist wants to say something, an actor wants to say something, a singer wants to say something, and it's all there in an opera. So for me, it's the most powerful art form to convey something that can't be spoken. And for a white audience to feel this pain, to feel this emotion, is why we do blue and pieces like this.
And you're taking it to Washington?
And we're taking it to Washington and taking it to Chicago. And the audience response is going to be very different. Very, just based on the demographic of each city, it's going to be very different. You know, black people I've talked to after the show, I mean, words aren't the first thing that comes out of their mouths. It's often a big hug, and you feel a sense of release that you haven't really been able to let go. And it's bold, but it's necessary. I mean, I think we often toe this line of not wanting to hurt feelings. And I think blue does it in a way. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, some feelings may get hurt, but you understand the hurt. You understand where the pain is coming from. You understand where the anger is coming from. It gives you a pretty good picture of why the anger and the pain exists. So I think you can stomach better the vitriol that comes out of the language of the piece.